Hi, this is Christy Marks, creator of Gem and the Holograms, and you're listening to a truly outrageous podcast with Mike, Amy, and Nicole. It's showtime, Synergy.
Have a truly outrageous time listening to Mike, Amy, and Nicole on Showtime Synergy.
Hello and welcome to Showtime Synergy, the Gem Review Podcast here on the Geekcast Radio Network. I am Em, and joining me are my hologram girls, Amy, hello.
Hello.
And Nicole, hello.
Aloha.
In this episode, we'll be giving you our thoughts on the first, on the next three episodes of Gem and the Holograms Season 3. Everywhere on the internet that I've seen, and I have not, as of this recording, gotten a reply on Twitter from Brian Ward, but everyone on the internet lists Video Wars as our next episode to review, yet on the Shout Factory Season 3 set, as part of the complete series as well as a single season set, has it closer to the end of the series. So we're going to be doing it like it has listed on the internet. We're not going to be going by the DVD set for this one, because that's just weird.
That is weird. I guess
Okay, so live as we are doing this, Brian has replied, "Eek, years ago, can't remember, production, I believe." So if the production order is on the DVD set, that means that that's the order that the DVD set is done in, and we are watching them in air date order as they aired on television. So for those of you who have the Gem set, the complete series Shout Factory set, let me pull it out here. Ugh. Wow, that sounds so wrong too.
You started it.
No, actually, Nicole started it off air, but anyway.
You said
Amy's getting her... You said she's doing something. I forget what it was.
I'm glad I wasn't part of that.
Let's talk about her equipment. You took it the wrong way.
No. Okay, so
I said my gear. What's the... I didn't say equipment. Well, I said gear.
No, Nicole said equipment. You said gear, but Nicole said equipment. So the season 3 DVD set for Gem and the Holograms. It lists on disc 2, That Old Houdini Magic, A Change of Heart, Brit Rock, The Day the Music Died, Video Wars, and A Father Should Be. So that, I assume, is the production order, because everywhere else on the internet that I have found, it lists them where it's Video Wars, The Beauty and the Rock Promoter, and Homeland Heartland. So we're going to go with the air date order, because that's what we've been going with the entire podcast.
It makes sense.
Yeah. I don't know. I just love it sometimes when I ask people questions out of the blue on Twitter or Facebook, whatever it is, and their reaction is like, eek, oh my God, I don't know, I don't remember.
Well, it was a while ago, you know. Yeah, less the 80s, true. But it was a while ago.
Yep. All right, so we're going to get into it after this with Video Wars.
Like a dream.
All right, first up is Video Wars. The air date is February 4th, 1988. Clash, disguised as a film student named Sarah, tries to get even with the holograms by making a bad video of them to replace Video's video. See, this is why her nickname is just so horrible. While spending time with them, Clash becomes friends with the holograms, and she loses track of where her loyalties lie, with the Misfits, her old friends, who treat her badly, or with her new friends, the holograms, who are nice to her. The featured songs, this may be right or wrong, because I think these listings on Wiki are going by the old DVD sets. I could be wrong, but it's Like a Dream, One of Those Days, and The Last Laugh. All by Jim and the Holograms. And then there's a bonus song of We're Off and Running by the Misfits. I like this one. I think it's interesting. I wish Clash's character development was done a little bit better, though.
Yeah. It's Clash. It's, you know.
It kind of just goes to show. I kind of looked at this and said, this is the Mean Girl episode, right? Well, she just, because she doesn't. It's kind of sad to see because, I mean, Clash is a sub character. She's not one of the main characters. Mm-hmm. And we're getting another, you know, we haven't seen her back for a little while because I don't remember. I think we had like one episode this last season that she was in, right? The Father's Day she was in, but then we haven't really seen her since then, have we?
No, not really.
It's kind of sad to just see that she's kind of stuck in the same loop. She's never going to. And I think it's okay to have some characters that are like that, that are just damaged, that will never get past whatever their damage is. And Clash is one of those characters. She's not a main character, but, you know, she has a purpose, and her purpose is the same every single time. You know, she's there for revenge. She wants to become the fifth Misfit, and you know it's never going to happen.
No.
So you end up just feeling bad for her.
Yeah.
Especially since, like, you know, when she was with the holograms and all that, she did something nice. And they were like, oh, you know, we should make her an honorary hologram. But she wouldn't be getting that from the Misfits. So, yeah.
Yeah, it just... Other than them... And we've even seen this throughout the three seasons. I mean, let's face it. When the end of the day, the Misfits... They're not a bunch of friends that will come together to help each other. They're a bunch of women who will backstab each other to get their own way.
True.
It's just the way... Okay, Stormer might be the exception to that, but in general, the Misfits in general, that's just the way that that group is. And anybody that's an outsider, they just don't give a crap.
Well, and the other thing is, everybody has a purpose in the Misfits. The only reason why they don't ever break up is because when you remove one of them, the sound doesn't it doesn't sound the same.
Yeah. Without they're them. Lost without each other.
Yeah, like, so as if Pizzazz leaves, she's the main singer, and it doesn't sound the same with her. I mean, this is something that they've always said. You know, I wish so-and-so would be back. It doesn't sound the same without them.
Yeah.
They've said it a couple times.
Yeah. And, well, Stormer left. They should realize this.
They have a purpose. Each person has a purpose. Now, if Clash was to be there, what would she do? Play the cymbals?
Yeah. She could be percussion.
That might work. Thoughts on the plot, Nicole?
It's a good story because you kind of see, like Amy said, how broken she really is. She's just trying to find a place to belong. And unfortunately, a lot of people are like that. And they'll do anything just to find a place to belong. And it kind of sucks when you got to go back to the people that made you miserable in the first place, just so you could have say, hey, I have friends. You know, I kind of felt sorry for her in this episode because she does have talent.
Yeah.
She just needs to branch out and use. Personally, I'll get into it in my hologram moments.
Oh boy. All right. Anything else in the plot?
I think it's good that it's interesting because she wants to be a Misfit, but Video is not necessarily a hologram. So I think Nicole has something, you know, going on here. That's right. Is the fact that Video works with Gem and the Holograms, but she has her video and stuff. It's like it's interesting that, you know, Clash, because of all of her being able to, you know, disguise herself, I'm surprised that she doesn't just go into like makeup artist or something like that and be the makeup artist.
That's what I have for my hologram moment.
Yeah, I'm like, she could totally work with that. She does have talent, but like her niche could be something not just video wise, but like with, you know, other stuff. You know, so she could make them look really, really cool in their music videos.
She could. Yeah. All right, we're into the hologram moments after this. Sometimes it all breaks down. Sometimes it comes apart. Sometimes you feel like a clown. You just can't make things start. Well, this is one of those days. One of those days. When nothing goes quite right and you're feeling all uptight. This is one of those days. Sometimes it all seems fine. Sometimes you move along. Sometimes it's time to shine and everything goes wrong. Well, this is one of those days. One of those days. When nothing goes quite right and you're feeling all uptight. This is one of those days. Well, this is one of those days. One of those days. This is one of those days. Alright, hologram moments for Video Wars. It turned out to be a very interesting episode. I love when Sarah says, even at 5 a.m. she looks great.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, it's a hologram, you know?
But she doesn't
try going
that.
Up there and giving her a hug. Then you'll see, really.
Yeah, really.
That reminds me. I think it would have been so funny if by chance Clash was to be a hologram that she would find out that Gem's secret before Rio.
Oh, boy.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
So the TV studio that they are going to or that they have to get to is K-Bot TV. First thing I thought of is, oh no, Kremzeek has taken over Gem and the Holograms. Tekrat plays video games. That was just hilarious.
Anything with Tekrat is awesome.
Yep.
Tekrat probably created the video industry just because he's that awesome.
Yeah, very true. I really love that the Starlight Girls are helping Video. Like, we actually have a purpose for them other than, you know, adventures in the woods or scavenger hunts or,
yes, but they're kids.
Well, it's not like Video's gonna, you know, pull a Wally Burr and make them work 12 hours at, you know, in a row or, you know, 14, 15 hour voice set. I mean,
careful,
you know, what? Trust me, I'm just stating a fact that other people I've heard state that Wally Burr voice sessions, you better be prepared to be in there for anywhere from, you know, 12 to 16 hours.
True, very true.
So
he was good, you know, made people work for their money. That's good. No, I think it's just the Starlight Girls. I thought as video techs, are they working for Video or are they working to replace the people that are not going to be there because Lindsay is not going to be there, so all of her techs are not going to be there either. I was a little confused about that. I was like, what, who's working?
Yeah, that was a little strange, but you know, when we have seen Video do all her work, it's mostly herself doing all the work.
Yeah,
it like she doesn't have assistants. It's basically just her and her craft. So the way I saw it was that they were just coming to help her out. They weren't coming to replace anybody.
Gotcha.
Because they still had people at the studio working the camera. Just because Lindsay isn't there,
yeah,
doesn't mean that the other workers weren't there. I love the helicopter pilot. My kids would never forgive me if I didn't help out Gem and the Holograms. Amy, what'd you like about this one?
We saw another video version of Like a Dream, which was kind of cool. They had new clothes, and I liked that. Ashley had sage words. Sometimes you have to share a problem before you get help with it. I was like, oh, finally we have some, you know, sage advice from a Starlight girl.
she's definitely the one that's probably changed the most through the series.
Agreed, mm-hmm. agreed. And I had to highlight that because I thought, you know, they've always kind of sometimes been in the background and been in the way. But you're right, she's probably the one that's developed the most. We had more exercise moments with Aja. And she's also the skeptical, cautious one. And I wish that Jericho would have a little bit more of that. They need to rub that off on Rhea as well. like I said, she may not be able to drive, but she has a healthy dose of caution. So that's good. I would have laughed
if it was her that was driving the car when it went out of control.
That would have been awesome. Oh, goodness. The Sarah clash, saving Rhea was good. I was like, oh, she's been around them. She's starting to, you know, the holograms are rubbing off on Clash. She's actually becoming a nice person for a little while at least. And I'm glad that Aja and Jericho made up. That was kind of a cool thing. You don't see that with the Misfits. So yeah.
Yeah, no.
And then of course, Tech Rat. It's always great to have him back.
Tech Rat.
So. Yep, that's me.
All right, what about you, Nicole?
Okay, I got Roxy gets in a good couple jabs at Jetta. We don't even need a fourth member. God, she's staring right at her. Oh, girl. I love that girl.
Brilliant.
Yeah, Clash has the best makeup skills. I'm like, why doesn't she do that instead of videos? Apparently, she's got talent for it, you know?
Yep.
And I also have... Hasbro needs to sue Disney because they stole the name Simba from him. Did you notice that the lion's name was Simba? Lion King doesn't come out for another 7 years.
Oh my gosh, I didn't even catch that. Holy crap.
Yeah.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, so Hasbro needs to get on Disney. I mean, yeah.
You better be careful what you wish for, because Disney could just buy and sell Hasbro, probably.
Probably, like, four times over. I mean,
you know, they've got...
They got Marvel, well, they got Star Wars, and they got...
They got ABC, they got...
Disney has turned into a beast.
Yeah.
What a bunch.
I thought that was funny. I'm like, they're talking about Simba. I'm like, okay, because this what came out. What year...
88. Yeah.
86? Is that right?
88. Well, the show came out in 85, but this episode came out in 88.
Okay. Okay. And Lion King, if I remember right, came out in
94.
Yeah. So.
94. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. So. That's forward thinking for you.
Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
Those are my hologram moments.
All right, let's get to the Misfit moments after this. It's time for the Misfit moments. You know, as we pointed out in the hologram moments, Aja does have a point, but the bad part about this is, as usual, Jerrica's ears are just closed. She ain't having it. It's like, oh, God, come on.
Rhea must friends? Have said something really convincing, because I have to say, it's Rhea's fault that this happened. She's like, Jerrica, can I speak with you? You know, we don't hear that conversation, but I'm like, you know, you might have think, do the, this is a personal favor for me. And remember, I didn't know anything, and, you know, I learned stuff, and I can imagine what type of the conversation that was, just because it's Rhea, right?
Yeah. And we already mentioned this in, you know, before, but I'm going to mention it again because I had it as a misfit moment. I originally wrote down that this was a good character development episode for Clash, but then as I'm watching, I'm like, no, this isn't, because she is stuck in the rut of wanting to get revenge and still being a part of the Misfits, and
if anything, it solidifies where she's going to stand from here on to the end of the show.
That's true.
So for character-wise, it just shows that not all the characters are going to progress. Some of them are going to get stuck in a rut, and that's Clash. But mm-hmm. I'm all right with that, because, like I said, she's not one of the main characters. She's a secondary character.
Yeah.
And so they stay true to par with her, at least.
That's true. All right, Amy, what didn't you like about this one?
I already mentioned it was Rhea's fault. This is Rhea's fault. It's all her fault. She did it all. And like I said, Clash continues to be obsessed with wanting to be a misfit, but whatever. Okay, I think the lion got loose because of Rio. Because when did he become a lion trainer?
Oh, no. Here we go.
Yes, I'm going to bash on Rio just a little bit.
I could blame Rio for a lot of things. I'll put that in the comments, too.
But hey, the lion didn't get free until he started getting involved. That's why I say, you know what? I think Rio did it. Video lives in a pretty messy place. I'm like, come on. Really, Video? If they were to come in there and take a video of your place, really? Come on. All those Starlight girls, and you can't ask one of them to help pick up? Wow. Okay, so who? And then I mentioned already the Starlight girls being video techs. I think Bonnie might be a little too young to do that, but. But, you know, maybe she's there to get the coffee. I don't know. Helicopter Fred. I didn't, you know, yeah. Helicopter Fred was cool. But here's the problem. How did he know to come down and pick them up? Like,
this is my big thing. I'm like, ugh, the whole helicopter moment.
How did he know? I mean, because it's not like they could just, like, sign language to him. Because he's driving, or he's flying a helicopter. So it's not like he had a cell phone either, because they didn't have, like, cell phones. Not such a big thing back in the 80s, okay?
Did you not see what happened in the scene?
She waves, yes.
No, yeah, she waves, but Jem also says, Synergy, we need help. We need to get his attention. And yes, Synergy flashed a giant pink sparkly help sign.
Yes, but that's help? Okay, so he goes over and looks down. They're driving. What is she going to do? Start waving? She starts waving her hands, and I'm like, okay, so that means that he's going to put himself into danger and go down. It was weird to me. It was just weird. I didn't think that there was enough explanation with help. I was like, okay, so he looks. If I saw a little flashy help sign like that, I'd be like, okay, what do you want me to do about that? You're driving in a car. Help. Okay, help what? How is he to know that the car isn't, like, what, that the brakes are out? What's going on, you know? He's just going to assume? I don't know. It was really weird to me how that happened. And it's a little dangerous, too, because he had to get down close enough. I mean, he's still flying a flying gas can that could easily, you know, he's going around corners and stuff like that. And I don't know. It was weird to me. That's all I have to say. And then what happens to the car when they get out of it? Does it go crash? What happened to the Rocket Roadster, man?
Oh, don't worry. I'll get another one.
Yeah. Well, they'll have to custom make that one, because that was from their dad, right?
No, that's the one that they won at a contest. The one that they won got from their dad was green and pink. That's the one that they won in the contest against the Misfits. Remember that old
That's right. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, so
I just thought that maybe they, you know, that's their secondary one, right? They drive the other one when actually Aja is allowed to drive that one because she's destroyed it a couple times already. I wasn't so sure that I liked the footage, the video footage of the last laugh, because it just seemed a little underhanded for the Gem and the Holograms, because they pretty much highlighted all of the things that the Misfits have done. When the Misfits, Clash specifically, was trying to show them in their bad, you know, with their not good foot forward. And then the Gem and the Holograms did that on their last thing. And I thought, I don't know how I feel about that. I think it was a little underhanded. I don't know.
I got a kick out of it. I'm like, this song is awesome.
I mean, yeah, but at the same time, I'm like, you know, okay, because they didn't, technically they're not supposed to know that Clash had made the video that she had. They didn't know until afterwards. And they didn't know that the Misfits were going to be there either. So their whole thing is their last laugh is getting back at the Misfits. And I just thought, because this is the first time that they've ever, like the whole time, have, you know, kind of like, it just seems like the whole show hasn't been around something like that, where they're highlighting all of the things that the Misfits are doing wrong. You know what I mean? Usually the Misfits, they make their own trouble and they get in their own trouble on their own. They don't have to teach them a lesson or tell them, hey, we're going to get the last laugh on you. That's usually the Misfits stick, right? And we're not, the fact that Gem and the Holograms gets that shtick in this one, I'm like going, I don't know how I feel about that. I'm really on the fence because I thought, it just seems like, I don't know. So because of that, I thought it just seemed a little off to me in a sense.
Right.
Because the Misfits are always focused on the Holograms and Gem. But they're not always focused on the Misfits. They're like, whatever.
The tides are changing, man.
Yeah, so it's like, I don't know. I'm kind of on the fence about that, just because I just doesn't seem like a bunch of nice girls be like, you know what? We're not going to give them the attention that they think they want. So let's go do something else. But at the same time, how do you illustrate having the last laugh?
Yeah.
And so that's why I'm kind of on the fence with it. So. That's my Misfit moments.
What about you, Nicole?
I basically had the same things like Amy has. The helicopter thing was just ridiculous. Ridiculous to the point I can't even say ridiculous. Okay. Okay. I mean, yeah, he probably saw something he could have probably. There's no way, first of all, if it's a news chopper, he doesn't have that much room in his news chopper for five other people.
Well, okay. They weren't in the chopper. They were all standing outside on the
unless the this struts. Guy has got some awesome stunt skills, he's not going to do this. You know?
Yeah, because like I said, it's a flying gas can. If you don't balance the weight appropriately, and how would the holograms and the how would they know that? And how would he communicate that to them?
Yeah, so, I thought that was a little ridiculous. And then my other one was about the video. If you watch the video, Jem gives herself away because she shows that she made a hologram of the Falcon while Pizzazz was on the hang glider.
Oh my gosh, you're
she
right.
Gave herself didn't away.
Even think that. Oh, yep. Man. Okay, wow.
Yep. So that's not just a little Misfit moment. That's a big one.
That's a big boo-boo. Yeah.
Yeah. Oops. So Jerrica.
Video, actually. Who told Video that Jerrica and Gem were the same person?
Oh, yeah. Oh, Video. But everyone knows now. Everyone knows now.
Crazy. Mm-hmm.
So those are my two Misfit moments.
So I just did, and I'm just guesstimating. I don't know. I did a little bit of math here. You get these five girls, and let's just say, for instance, that they weigh 125 pounds each. That's 625 pounds of weight in addition to what the helicopter already weighs.
Yeah.
That's so significant, to be honest.
Yeah, that's a little significant. But, I don't know. What would you rate this one, Amy?
I'm going to rate it a 3.5.
Okay. Nicole?
I had to mark it down a little bit just because of the, you know, the video footage that I'm kind of on the fence about, and then the flying gas can. There you go. Just can't.
I'm same.
Helicopter Amy Fred has. Needs to get a, need to get recertified again.
Yeah, I'm the same. 3.5. I enjoyed the parts with Clash and stuff, but there's a couple of moments you're just like,
but. It looks like it's going to be 3.5 all around. I wish there was more character development for Clash. I'm not saying she needed to, you know, ditch her old friends. And let's face it, really, have the Misfits really been a friend to her at all outside of maybe Stormer? But what I'm saying is, like, I wasn't expecting her to just immediately become friends with the holograms and all this and all that and everything else. But I just was expecting a little bit more character development out of this one with her.
Well, they kind of do have a little bit of a moment where they're like, you know, didn't you, you know, you knew this about, you know, we were willing to accept you as one of our own. And then she just kind of turns her back and goes after the Misfits. So, the moral of the story is don't be friends with people who will never include you. I was kind of waiting for that little, you know, PSA announcement at the very end. Because that's kind of what I took out of it, you know?
But, yeah. All right, we're going to get to the next episode after this. Next is the Beauty and the Rock promoter. The air date was February 5th, 1988. Red Johnny Mac owes a lot of people a lot of money, so he pretends that he's going to produce a rock opera in London of Beauty and the Beast with Jem as Beauty. Luckily for Mac, Jem and the Holograms thinks it looks like a first-class show and accepts the updated version. Much to Rio's objection, Jem is getting very curious who the Beast is since she has never seen her wonderful co-star without his costume. The songs that are featured are You'll Never Win My Love by Jem and the Holograms, Let Me Go by Jem and the Holograms and the Beast, we'll talk about that in a minute, and Our Love Makes You Beautiful by Jem and the Holograms. Yay, no Misfits. Well, at least no Misfits songs. So, in preparation for this, after I watched this episode, I scoured the internet to try to figure out who the hell was singing the Beast's part, because I know it was not Greg Berger. Because Greg Berger is the voice of the Beast. But I know it wasn't Greg singing in that song. I kind of dug this one. It was a weird updating of Beauty and the Beast, but
it was almost kind of a cross between Beauty and the Beast and Cinderella, because I don't remember Beauty and the Beast having a bunch of sisters that were like...
Yep, in the original story...
In the original? Okay, my bad then.
Story, don't do the Disney thing. Yeah. In the original story, she had stepsisters. Yeah.
But were they that mean to her?
Yes. It was kind of like a Cinderella thing.
Okay.
Because in the original story... Okay. Flashback. Okay, so their father goes out and he asks his daughters what do they want to bring back, and the other two daughters want like riches and golds and beauty. All she wants is a single rose. And so when he's coming back, he's going past the Beast Castle, and he realizes he hasn't got the rose for beauty yet. And so he goes and picks one, and blah blah blah.
And that's how he gets in trouble, is because of that. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, I forgot the original. So I was gonna say you messed up with the. You're supposed to go.
My misfit moment.
There you go.
I like the plot of this. It's interesting. What I find so interesting about it is how the play eventually becomes the entire episode, except for one or two beats where they have to cut the scene and whatever else, and they have to highlight the fact that Jim and the Holograms haven't slept for like 3 days in a row or whatever else. But like, I like the point where they start the scene, but they don't like, they don't do like, oh my God, you messed up, we have to cut and start all over again. They pretty much kept it a continuous thing. Almost as if it was like you were watching a Jim and the Holograms Beauty and the Beast movie. I really dug that about the plot. There's not too much. Other than when the misfits come in, there's not too much about the plot that I just don't care for at all, really. Mm-hmm. What about you, Amy?
I kind of looked at this episode and said, this is the episode where Rio goes in and gets his hair dyed from purple to green. Green with envy and jealousy. Because he goes nuts this episode. Oh. It's like the whole time. And it's not just Jem this time. It's like all of the holograms. I'm like, dude, who are you loyal to?
Yep.
Is it just Jem? Or is it all of the girls? Because, like, you got this whole vibe that you're like, they belong to me. I want to kill the beast because they belong to me. He's so Mr. Cranky Pants. But like I said, he was wearing green the whole time in this episode.
He had male PMS this episode. You're like, dude. Go shove a tampon in it and come back in 2 days.
Okay, I did not need that visual. I can just see the outtakes now. Okay.
I don't know.
Segue that, Mike.
Yeah. Let's see, I didn't know too much about the, I don't remember a lot about the original version. I mean, hell, I don't remember. I mean, I remember the Disney version, but not as much
as the Disney version didn't come out until
I know
what, 5 years
91 after? Yeah, 91. So
the 90s.
Yeah. And see, I didn't know about the evil stepsisters in hell. I thought, instead of what the misfits actually do, I thought they went behind everybody's back, replaced all the holograms, and put on I thought they put on hologram costumes. I actually thought that those were the misfits, because they were saying lines that the misfits have said before. Not, you know, just the way, you know, just how mean they are and whatever else. And I was like, oh, that's a little interesting plot twist, but that's not exactly what happened. So, yeah. Like I said, I like this one. I think it's interesting. You know, I mean, Jim and the Holograms, the group is pretty much tied between music and movies and Broadway plays. And now they're doing a rock opera. And I mean, they're pretty much into everything. The only thing they don't, oh wait. Yeah. They do have their own TV show. Duh.
And they have their own radio station.
Yeah, KGM. They have their own radio station.
Fits right into the theme of everything that they've done.
Oh, yeah. Nicole, what did you think of the plot?
I love this episode. Again, it's got a freaky creature in it. I'm going to love it. Okay. Yeah. I love any kind of play on fairy tales. I'm a sucker for that. This was really good. I had fun watching it. If we could just pluck out Rio, it would be almost perfect.
Oh, come on now.
Oh, he was just so annoying. It's just like, oh.
It'd be fine if he had done a few things. It's just he went a little overboard with it, I think. He just started being very possessive of all of the girls. Like, these guys are working, you guys.
My precious. My head off.
Oh, God. Rio is Golem. Oh, my God.
Take Golem at this point.
Okay. Anything else on the plot?
That was just a lot of fun. I really
Mad Electric Beast was awesome.
Oh
yeah.
Awesome.
All right, we're gonna get to the hologram moments after this. It is time for the hologram moments for the Beauty and the Rock promoter. Interesting take on Beauty and the Beast. I already mentioned, I actually made a Tommy Boy joke. Holy shnikes, Grimlock is the Beast, Greg Berger.
Oh, I loved it. I love Greg.
Yeah, Greg's awesome. Oh, that would be so cool. Get him and Dan together to talk about their roles on this series. That would be great. That would be epic. Wow. This thing is amazing. I love how, and I already kind of mentioned this, how they basically turn the entire cartoon into the play itself. Because it doesn't even seem, you know, off-air Amy was mentioning that they had a pretty tight schedule. And
I'd like to believe it. So
The way the cartoon shows it, it doesn't even seem like this is a practice run for them. It just seems like they are doing the play as they go along. Like, it doesn't really seem like they're filming the rock opera as it happens. They're not really having dress rehearsal or anything like that. It just, I don't know, it was a little strange to me, but I love it. I thought it was awesome.
Well, that's the thing, is that when you get to the end, it just seems like they only were they only doing one production of it? Maybe two?
Yeah.
So, because it kind of feels like that, I mean, you know, when you do a production like that, usually goes on for a couple of months, that type of thing. But I don't get the sense that that's what they were doing here. It seems like I said, it seems like it's a really short production. They come, they start practicing right away. They're not getting a lot of sleep. Rio's, you know, being the way he is. And then it just seems like afterwards, oh, we're going to be rich. I'm like, over one episode?
Well, or not one episode, but money off of the album.
Like, yeah. Or because they did a lot of promotion. That was the other thing that they're doing. When they weren't practicing, they were taking lots of promotional pictures, which I thought was kind of really cool I'm going to highlight a little bit of a hologram moment here. The fact that they, you know, it looked like they had merchandise and stuff like that, and they were taking pictures of that. That was kind of cool.
Well, yeah, that's because the whole point of this, and I think we're kind of forgetting this as we go along because we're kind of focused on the play and what it was, but the whole point of this whole thing is Johnny owes people money.
Yeah.
So he's got to get as much money as he can out of Jim and the Holograms in their work ethic while he has them there. So that's why all the promotion and all that stuff was going on.
Yeah.
Cool. I wrote down as my last one. I know we're not to the Misfit moments yet. I was like, that's an interesting ending. And now Nicole is going to complain about it. what else do you have for hologram moments, Amy?
I like the fact that at the very beginning, I know this is really kind of silly, but the fact that they turn Mac upside down and they're shaking the change out of him, I got a kick out of that, because I don't think you can actually really do that, but I like it when they show people doing that. They can only do it in cartoons. I don't think I've ever seen it on an actual, like...
I do it to children all the time.
Well, I can tell you, sure you do. If I turn my kids upside down and started shaking, trying to shake stuff out of their pockets, nothing would come out, because those pockets, yeah, they don't come out very easily. If anything, all of the dirt would come out, but not their change. So
basically what you're trying to tell everybody in the entire world is that your kids are dirt cheap.
Or dirt magnets. They have more dirt in their pockets than they do toys. There you go. They roll around in it. They're just like, you know. You know that kid on Peanuts that has the cloud of dirt around him all the time?
Fake Ben, yeah.
Yeah. Those are my kids. At least one of them, for sure. The younger one, of course. Okay, I think it's funny that Jerrica is cautious over Red Johnny Mac's deal, but not with Sarah's from, you know, last episode. I'm not knocking it. I mean, I'm glad that she is. That she's like, oh, I've got to look at this and make sure that this is okay. She looks at the contract and all of this stuff. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And then she's like, all right, this sounds like pretty legit. I think we should do it. Especially since, you know, Jem is was it the Grammys? What was she nominated for? An Oscar?
Yeah.
Award, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay, she's a nominated Oscar person. So it kind of makes sense that they would have her go there, just because she's, I mean, it's not what her career is, but she's been nominated. So, you know, that's kind of gives her a few credentials, you know? The Without You, My Life Would Be a Nightmare from the I thought that was cute. Okay, it's the father that's in the play, and he says, without you, my life would be a nightmare. It's like, yeah, with those daughters, I can see why. Because she, Jem's character is the one that, you know, plays the, she's like making dinner, washing, stuff like that. I don't think the sisters are doing things like that.
No.
And then, of course, the end. I have a moral of the story again here on this episode. It should have been a PSA announcement. The stage is one thing, real life is another. Boom.
Yep.
I'm kind of glad that they wrapped it up like that. But, yeah. I don't have a lot of moments on this one. I was kind of torn between it, because it was a really off episode for me, I think. There were a few things that I couldn't put my finger on why I had an off with it, but love the fact that Greg Berger is voicing the character of the Beast and Mac. And I'm kind of torn between this one. So those are my hologram moments.
What about you, Nicole?
Hologram moments. I love the costume, the Beast costume. It's just how I like my men, awesome and dangerous. and apparently, Dizzy also took some lines from this episode as well. There's a couple lines that were exactly from the Disney movie in this. Okay, that was really crazy. I was like, yeah. Like I said, I like pretty much any other revamping of a fairy tale. I was like, I want to see this. I want to see the music, and I want to see the music. Holy hell. Hear the music, see the play. That would be really awesome to see on a big stage.
It's a good idea. I think that they should do that.
I think so, too. Yeah. I'm just like, you know what? Maybe this guy needs to get mugged a little bit more often. He might come up with some good ideas. I liked how he slipped himself in as the main character. I'm like, that's tricky. Because if you think about it, now he doesn't have to pay that person.
Yeah, that's very true.
He can pay himself. That's, there you go.
I actually liked him. I thought he was a cool guy. So, yeah, those were my big hologram moments.
All right, we're going to move on to the misfit moments after this. We'll be right back.
It is time for the Misfit moments for the Beauty and the Rock Rotor. Ugh, the Misfits again. Yeesh. And it wasn't even to further their own careers. It was just to try to humiliate Jim. Are you kidding me? Seriously?
But this is their MO. This has always been their MO. They always try to just humiliate Jim, and they end up doing it to themselves.
I know, but again, we are almost to the end of this series. I understand the main plot of the entire series is Jim versus the Misfits versus Jim, but crap, I want some character development. I really, really do. We've had individual development on all of them, but as a group, I want them. Like, I can see if Pizzazz's ultimate goal would be to be the star. I mean, they just kind of threw her in that role.
Yeah.
Here, like, she wasn't actually actively trying to get rid of Jim so she could be the star. Like, if she had done that, I'd have a different feeling towards it, but they're just ruining stuff to ruin it. And it's like, oh God, it's a waste of time.
Actually, I'd like to say that I think that they just have no acting talent whatsoever.
Well, yeah, there is that too.
Oh yeah, that was...
It's like, she thinks she's the star. It's like, I'm in charge. Ah, nah, 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 nah. And then they holler out. I'm like going, yeah, you should holler out. That was terrible.
Yep.
They had stilted, jilted language and dialogue. And it's like, oh, geez, get these guys off stage. They are being booed.
Yeah. Yeah. All I was waiting for was the tomatoes and the broccoli to be flying.
Oh, this is England. They wouldn't do that.
Well, maybe. They could throw some blood pudding at them then.
There you go.
And that's the other thing. They're in England. Why do we not see a scene where Jetta might go off to see her parents or something or other?
Because you've met her parents, right?
Yeah, no, I know. But again, you know, just, I don't know. All right, Amy, what didn't you like about this one?
They're in England, right? So wouldn't everybody, including the other actors and even on stage while they're acting, wouldn't they all have accents?
Yes.
So, I mean, I know they do.
Because they bring a lot of British performers over here to the States, why wouldn't they bring a bunch of Americans over there?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying, is that why would the British actors over there not have British accents?
They're transplants.
I don't know. I just they do give everybody something, because I was like, okay, is it just me, or does it sound like when they're on stage they're not really trying to have their regular accents? And so I just thought, I don't know. Maybe I just didn't see enough of it. But, like, just, you know, the accent thing was kind of really odd to me. So I thought, I'm not sure if I like the Jim obsession with the Beast. It's kind of odd. Like I said, Rio's jealousy goes out of control. But you know what? Jim does kind of get a little obsessed with the Beast. Which is kind of funny, because the mystery of that, once she finds out who it really is, then it's like, oh. And then everything's just like, oh, okay, it was that guy. Okay.
Yeah.
And then she instantly isn't obsessed anymore. So thought it was kind of odd that they turned to the Misfits just because Jim collapsed. Yeah. I was like, why would they give them the time of day?
Yeah, really.
That, I mean, I wouldn't. It was like, would I go to my nemesis's? If something happened and I couldn't do it, I was like, no, because I want to give them a good recommendation of somebody that actually could do my job better. And the Misfits cannot do their job better.
No.
So I was like, I don't care if the Misfits are there. You can delay the production for a day or something. Give them a couple 24 hours to rest. The fact that she was out for 4 days, I was like, wow. Jeez.
I think there was something else going on. Rhea might have beat her while she was asleep.
Oh, stop.
Were they pumping drugs into her hotel room or something? And she was like high the whole time? Or I don't know. It's weird.
Maybe she got some kind of sickness on the plane. I don't know.
It was odd. That was just odd. So, Misfits and Pizzazz, of course, were terrible with their acting. Eh. And I really didn't like the song Our Love Makes You Beautiful to me. It was something really odd about it. There's like a chord or two in there that I just thought, eh, I didn't care for it. So Misfit moments on this one were just like, I had a hard time feeling this one. I think my enjoyment of it has kind of gone up since I've been talking to you guys about it, but I had a hard time with this one. That's me.
See, I like I said, I enjoy the Beast. That's really awesome.
Mad Electric Beast is awesome.
Oh god, that is awesome.
Stage sets looked pretty cool too. I mean, like for, you know, an animation thing. They were trying to do the whole light show with electricity and, you know, remember back in the day when we liked those, you know, outfits that the Misfits were wearing? There were like the laser beams and stuff like that.
Yeah, that was cool.
Just a little bit more of that vibe. That would have been cool.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. All right, Nicole, what do you got?
Oh, okay, well,
let the Rio bashing begin.
I just said Rio's jealousy is one of a junior high girl, and we'll just keep with that because oh my gosh, I just anytime he opened his mouth, there's some moments I'm just like, okay, Rio, kind of cool right there, but this whole episode, I'm just like, shut up. Yeah, like Amy said, the whole obsession that Jim had over the Beast, and he's saying it's theater magic, and I'm like, excuse.
Let's just say it. Come on, say it, Jim. You thought he was some hunky stud underneath there. Maybe he was Riot or something. And as soon as you found out it was Mac, you're like, oh, sorry, I was obsessed over somebody else.
Yeah,
and that's the other thing, like. We last week in episode 18, we just got introduced to the Stingers.
Yeah,
had a whole two-parter introducing us to the Stingers. Why in hell are the Stingers not even in this as background, or the episode before this? I mean, it's like it's almost like they don't exist now. I mean, I know they're going to come back and they're going to show each other, you know. But I thought the whole point of bringing. Other than, you know, because, hey, we have new dolls and we're calling them this, this, and this, and, you know, you got to put it in your show. Other than that, why aren't the Stingers even in this anywhere at all? Like, even mentioned. They're not even mentioned because you got Eric hanging out with the Misfits and being like, oh, well, we got to get it on the album promotion and whatever else and this, that, and the other thing and everything else. And then he renamed the damn music company Stinger Sound. You'd think that they'd be in here somewhere.
That's a good point. I didn't think about that. Yeah. It was almost as if we're, you know, this is neatly, these were the episodes that didn't make it into season two. So they're throwing it into season three. I don't know.
She was awesome. Oh, and my other thing was Misfit high waisted shorts. No, I don't care if it was the 80s. No. And you don't wear it with a trench coat. No.
Didn't I do that?
I was going to say Steve Urkel. There you go.
Oh, my gosh. When the episode first showed up and you saw him, I'm like, I'm not going to like this guy.
This is why I say as soon as Jem found out it was Mac, she's just like, oh, I'm not obsessed with the Beast anymore.
After he got out of those hideous shorts. And I'm understanding Jim now. He got into the Beast costume. He's kind of hot. You know? Again, it's an audible thing because he got that deep, growly voice. Oh my gosh, I'm talking about Greg Berger.
is it the character or Greg that you really want to talk about? Sorry, Greg. I hope I'm making you blush.
I am so linking him to this episode. I suppose.
Oh, Greg knows I love him. I stalked him for a whole 3 days on accident.
Wait, I don't. Okay, so ratings. Let's just go to ratings. Amy, what do you give this one?
Despite how much I love Greg, I was gonna rate it a 2, but after talking with you guys, I'm gonna give it a 2.5. It was an odd episode for me. I kind of didn't feel it, but. I did. I had fun talking about it with you guys. So, I gave it a half point more.
Nicole?
See, I had a lot of fun with this episode. I mean, a lot of fun. I'm giving it a 4. I actually like it better than the last episode we just reviewed. I don't know. It's the fairy tale thing. I'm a sucker for it. Love it.
I'm going to give it a 4.5 because it's got, it's something different. Like Nicole said, it's always interesting
half point
to myself.
High shorts, right? High waist shorts?
No, the half point off is for Rio's jealousy. So I'll admit it. Just this one episode, he has made one huge mistake. But no, I mean, overall, this is a really enjoyable episode. It's interesting. I was wondering how this is all going to look. And then, you know, you get Grimlock as the Beast. And it's like, okay, that's kind of sold it already right there. Having Samantha Newark
as
the...
It sounds like Grimlock, though.
You know, well...
He had the gruff, gravelly voice, but it wasn't...
No.
Grimlock.
No, it wasn't, but just because, and this is the other thing, is like, the way I almost viewed this is similar to when he was Mysterio on Spider-Man in 94.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, that, you know, it's that same kind of voice that Greg does, and this voice that he does in this, it's just a little bit deeper than what his actual voice is. Mm. So, I mean, you know, and I guess I could say outside of Rio's jealousy, the other part of the half off is the Misfits. Just no.
They were an odd inclusion in this.
Yeah,
one,
it was so. It that they were out of place.
Yeah.
See, that this episode would have been a little bit more interesting if Johnny Mac had to hire Riot to play the Beast. Instead of having a... See, they could have worked the Stingers into this, but oh no.
He couldn't afford the Stingers. That's the thing.
He
has the mob after him.
How does he afford Jem and the Holograms? I mean, I know they do a lot of things for charity and everything else, but how's he affording them? I mean, come on now.
He must have given them some really blackmail. Good... Yeah. or that contract was really awesome.
Yeah, something like that. All right, we're gonna get to the final episode after this. East is east and west is west, or some people say, but there will come a day our differences will melt away. Music and dance will help to bridge the gap. Music and dance will wipe the lines right off the map. Some say we haven't got a chance, but we'll finally up today is Homeland Heartland. The air date was February... No, it was not February 3rd, 1988. Wow. I need to change that. It was February 6th, 1988, I believe. God damn it. I still need to make sure I have this right. Son of a bitch. Change of... midsummer. It was February 8th. Okay, shut up. Stop it.
It's January, not February.
No, stop it.
Sorry. I'll stop.
And finally up today is Homeland Heartland. The air date was February 8th, 1988. Dance returns to Zagreb, her hometown country of Yugoslavia, to learn more about her family. There she falls in love with the lead ballet dancer, Stefan, whose alter ego is Steve Urkel, and also finds out that more about her mother, Nadia, Nadia's past in the ballet, and the artistic director of the Zagreb Ballet, Victor, has other plans in mind for dance and is determined to make her his. Dance is also reunited with her father, dun-dun-dun. We had music and dance, falling in love with a stranger, and music and dance again, all by Jim and the Holograms. I like this one. We've seen dance centric to two episodes before this, but it's nice to kind of see that pretty much all the characters, whether they be on the Misfit side or the Hologram side, I think the only, honestly, and this is kind of a travesty, I think the only character that does not have an origin that actually matters at this point is Tech Rat. Because let's face it, Eric stopped using Zipper a long time ago.
Yeah, Zipper's
in jail.
that's true.
From Misfits in Hawaii, he's in jail.
That's true.
They ditched him.
that's very true. I like this plot. I think it's interesting. I think it's nice to see, you know, dance's background and all that. But the only problem I have with it is, as far as the plot goes, is in the past episode she said, "Oh, I can't just fall in love willy nilly or whatever else she said," and it's like, yep, it's exactly what she does here, pretty much.
Yeah, I was just going to say that, because one of my hologram moments was, Dance can't have dinner with Stefan because she doesn't believe in whirlwind romances.
Yeah.
You're right. I mean, they have established that. But here's the thing. She's all goo-goo-eyed about him the whole time. And then you get to the very end, and, you know, because she finds her father and all of that stuff. We find out that her mother's not dead, actually. She just disappeared. Her dad is going to follow her to the United States. They're going to look for her mom. What about Stefan? They do not wrap that up at all. So it's like, nope. I kind of get the feeling that maybe she's a little bit of a player. She's just going to leave him in Yugoslavia and just walk away.
You know what? It all
started, been googling at him the whole time.
Her whole life has been her career. Yeah, she needs to have a little fun time. So she's going to enjoy her time while she's out of the States. And come on, we've all had, you know, tour romances, and yeah, sure.
Maybe there's something about Stefan that just kind of changed her mind for at least a little while, and then when she finally snaps out of it, she's like, oh, that's right, I don't like whirlwind romances. Sorry, see you later, Stefan.
She knew it was only going to last a couple weeks, so.
Yeah, something like that. Well, at least it's not Victor. That'd be creepy.
Oh, Victor.
I thought at first that Victor was going to be her father. I was like, oh,
thank
no.
God he wasn't.
Oh,
no.
My gosh. Yeah.
Victor is the Jafar of this episode.
Oh, I really like this episode. I actually, you know, what was really cool about it is the fact that I have a great grandmother who came from Yugoslavia. Mm. And she lived on a border town, which, so, like, it's been Yugoslavia, then it was Czechoslovakia for a little while, and then it turned back to a different place. I don't even know if Yugoslavia exists. Has it dissolved? I thought I remember reading somewhere. It exists again. Okay, good. Because, like, the borders in that area, it's been, from what I understand, there's the border in the area where my grandmother came from switched a lot, and there was a lot of fighting and change of governments and stuff like that, so. But yeah, so when I first heard this one, I was like, oh, I kind of thought about what if my grandmother came from a place like this. So I liked this episode, so. And the moral of the story, because I've been doing that for every single episode, is never spurn a prima ballerina, just saying.
Oh, good Lord. What about you, Nicole? What'd you like about this one?
I just like the venture. This is actually one of those ones where they actually go someplace, and it did not totally annoy me.
Yeah.
There's still some parts that was just like,
And it kind of had a serious tone to it. There wasn't as much.
I did like the origin of dance and seeing what her parents were like and what happened there and how she got to the U.S. I thought was really good.
All right. We are going to get to the hologram moments after this. We'll be right back. time for the hologram moments. I already said it pretty much, but it's nice to get an origin and backstory for Dance. Oh boy, that guy Victor has ulterior motives. Wow. Mm-hmm. No misfits, at least. So there is that.
There is a Rio, but he's actually normal, this one. He plays the... Yeah. He does play a good role in this, so his he got over his PMS from the last episode, and you know,
yep, pretty much, yeah.
This Dance, you know, she doesn't believe a whirlwind of romances anyhow, so he knows he doesn't have a chance with her.
he has a better chance with Minx
or a Yeti.
No.
They are in the winter. They are.
I was going to say, they're up in the mountains. I wanted my Yeti in this one.
Oh, my God.
I guess that's a misfit moment right there.
Oh, my God. Guys in the Yetis.
Yetis what'd are you awesome. Like about...
They're going to find Jackie.
Jesus. Oh, God. Wait, no, they don't have to find Jackie because she's dead.
No, that was our theory. Remember that we Jackie's with the Yetis.
No, she's not
she's
with
not
the...
She's not dead, she's with the Yetis.
No, she's dead.
She's with the Yetis in Shambhala. Oh, Shangri-La. One of the two.
Shambhala for a minute. I thought you were going to say Jambalaya.
Jambalaya. She's down in the Creole area.
Oh, God. Amy, what did you like about this one?
Okay, well, instead of stage sets falling on Dance, we get an avalanche instead. It's like, hey, she can't get through an episode without getting hurt. She's got bad karma.
Yeah, she kind of does.
Oh, goodness. I like the statue disguise that they did in this one.
Oh, that was awesome, yes.
That was cool. I was like, I can't believe Victor didn't see it. Come on, you're an art critic. You know, he's opinionated about American musical art and says that, oh, you know, these rock stars aren't real artists and blah, blah, blah. And he can't even appreciate their disguise. Really?
That was a cool disguise. I
got it. Oh, it was good. I really liked how things developed this episode. Instead of moments, I just like how it unfolded. It was slow starting off and then everything just fell into place. It was, like I said, it seemed to be a little bit more of a serious plot. In this episode. So I kind of had a hard time picking out hologram moments because I just, it just all made sense, you know, how it all put together. But yeah, I liked in the end, I liked how that Dance's father was found and that he's coming back to America with her to help her find her mother. So maybe her Dance issues will be figured out. I don't know what to do about the whole stage thing, though, you know, with stuff falling on her and, you know, avalanches and she's always getting hurt. And people are always, yeah, I think there might have been one episode where she actually went through and she didn't get hurt. So
because she had that cape, she had her magical cape, remember?
Oh, yeah, maybe that's what it was.
First time we watched her, I'm like, oh, cape, ooh, no cape.
Yeah. But yeah. There you go.
All right, Nicole.
I agree with Amy that there's this whole episode was really good. I mean, the whole thing could be pretty much a hologram moment, but I just love the whole story about her mom and her dad. But the one thing that I got up and actually cheered for, it's the prima ballerina was Baroness. Oh, yeah.
I didn't catch that. Oh, my gosh,
yeah,
that's awesome.
Baroness. Yes, it is.
Never mess with a prima donna, a prima ballerina.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's like, I'm going to replace you with Dance. I was like, oh really? You think? Just you wait. When you need me, I won't be there for you. I'm going to throw you under the bus, boy.
I'll go get my boyfriend Destro to take care of you. He knows
good
people.
Lord.
I'd like to believe that she left him after this and went to Destro. Oh, yeah. Those bald men, they're just so much more sexy.
Yeah.
Yes, I just did say that.
Yeah, so those are my highlights. It was just overall good episode.
All right, we're going to get to the misfit moments after this. East is east, and west is west. Misfit moments for Homeland Heartland. The only thing I have is we're getting down to the nitty gritty here to the series, and I guess because of that, they can't even come up with two new songs. They reused the same song twice in the same episode.
Yeah, they did.
I don't mind if they, you know, use music and dance in this episode, and then somehow the next one it gets reused, but reusing it in the same episode, that was just a little weird to me.
Maybe they wrapped it up so quickly that they just like, oh, let's just throw in a, you know, another
yeah
encore here real quick.
Yep. What about you, Amy? Anything you didn't like about this one?
Aja, she's a bit of a downer on everyone, isn't she? She's like,
I think she needs to go see Craig, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Craig needs to, they need to go out on a date or something, because she's like, yeah. I wasn't quite sure about the name of the place where she came from. Is it Bled? Blit? Blid?
That B-L-E-D. I was watching it with the captions.
Okay.
Why is it at work? Because I'm not supposed to watch videos at work. So it was B-L-E-D, like blood. Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like a red stain.
For real, being a girl.
Stop it.
Whoa. Wow. That was last episode.
It's probably the most swift kick in the nuts Nicole has ever given him.
Oh my goodness.
I've talked about this. He's like a kid dog. He doesn't have anything down there.
His voice needs to be a little higher then.
Wow.
I got a little confused. Maybe it was because I was a little distracted while I was watching this, but how did Dance know about Victor telling Nadia that her father was dead?
It happened off screen.
She went into this whole mode where she was like explaining the other half of the story, and I thought, wait. When she first meets Victor, she doesn't go, "Victor," you know. Yeah. She doesn't act like she knows the guy, and all of a sudden, then she starts telling the story about, "Well, Victor told my mom this," and blah blah blah. I'm like, wait a second, how did she know that? I mean, she could just say, "Well, mom always said that my dad died." But suddenly it was like all of a sudden she knew Victor was involved. And I thought, are you making the jump or did that actually really happen? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I was a little confused. I just kind of got went, wait a minute. How does she know that Victor told her mom that? Or is she just making the assumption? I don't know. It was really weird. I just kind of I didn't have a chance to go. I was watching it just before we videoed, so or we started podcasting, so I kind of didn't have time to go back and clarify that, but I was like, I'm scratching my head going, wait a second, I'm confused. Anyhow, and like I pointed out, Stefan, poor guy, he never really gets closure in this episode. I'm not quite sure. I don't think that he's coming back to America with her, so she's gonna she doesn't really cut things off with him. We kind of leave that one hanging. So I'm going to say that she, because she falls in love a little bit in this, episode, that Dance has a guy now, a dude. It's a long distance relationship, but it's not a whirlwind relationship. Let's just say that. Well, sort of, maybe. It's a whirlwind romance, but it moves quickly into long distance relationship.
Absolutely. What about you, Nicole?
The only big thing I had with this, the animation was a bit off for me. All Yugoslavian men have some really sharp cheekbones. Oh my gosh. I don't know what it was. It was all the looks of the guys just was off for me. I was like, oh my gosh. If I need to cut paper, I'll just ask you to put your face on it. I mean, they were just so sharp. The men's faces were just so sharp and jagged. I didn't care for it. And shoulder pads. Woo! Holy shoulder pads. Even too big for in the 80s, okay?
It's the 80s, yeah.
At the end there with Dance, I mean, it was even big for the 80s. That was big shoulder pads. Yeah. But yeah, I just didn't care for the animation in this one. But it makes up for it because it got bareness.
What would you rate this one, Amy?
I really liked this one. I liked the manipulation in the background of this episode. I like how things turned out. Like I mentioned, it started out slow and it just kind of picked up from there. I rated it a 4.
Nicole?
I gave it a 3.5 because I enjoyed it, but I didn't enjoy it as much as I did the last episode.
Wow. Something with the Baroness only gets a 3.5. Shame. Wow.
She wasn't in it long enough, man.
She played an important role.
Yeah. Get that prima ballerina her own episode.
Good Lord. I'm also going to give it a 4.5. I really enjoyed it. The only thing was, honestly for me, was the reuse of the same song in the same episode.
That annoyed me too. Oh.
Yeah, that was because...
I think the only reason why I was all right and gave it a pass is because they started out with it and then they kind of wrapped up with it, you know? It kind of brought it a little full circle for me, so I was okay with it because of that. But only... I'm glad it's only been used so far, at least in this episode. I don't recall a lot of other episodes doing that. That being said, if they do it again, I'll have to knock it.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a quick break, come back with final thoughts, close the show after this.
Jem will be right back after these messages.
A female He-Man! This is the worst day of my life!
We've told the tales of Eternia, and now we head to a different dimension to explore the myths of Etheria. Join Optimus Solo and TFJ1 Mike as they continue their MOTU journey by exploring She-Ra, Princess of Power. 35 podcast episodes covering the entire run of She-Ra, the Christmas special, and more. You can find Myths of Etheria on iTunes and www.geekcastradio.com. For the honor of Grayskull, we all have the power.
Yes. Shut up.
Beyond the Night is the GCRN's latest review podcast. We are covering everything in the Knight Rider television universe. From the classic 80s TV series to the 1991 reunion film, Team Knight Rider, and the 2008 relaunch series as well. So join TFG and Mike and Dion the Music Man as they go in-depth in Beyond the Night, only on Geekcast Radio Network. You can find Beyond the Night in iTunes and on www.geekcastradio.com.
Get...
Yes, Michael.
Just keep driving.
It's action. It's drama. It's comedy. It's DeCian, the superhero webcomic. DeCian's got superhero antics and sexy girls. Read it now at DeCian.com. DASIEN.com.
And now, back to Jem.
All right, folks, we are back here on Showtime Synergy. And so I looked at the episode list. We are... Next episode, we will get to the halfway point of this season. So far, in episodes 18 and 19, we've talked about the first 5.5, almost 6 episodes of season 3. So we're pretty much almost halfway done with this season.
It's like a half season.
Yeah, there's only 13 this time around. Kind of sucks, but, you know, 26, 26, and 13. There you go. There's your 65, and, you know.
Yep.
Whatever. Any character thoughts, any predictions that you guys might have, anything you want to see happen before we end the series?
Yetis.
You and the Yetis.
Jackie lives.
Oh, God. Stop it.
The drama. Just think of the drama that would start. I mean, really.
I want to see Rio and Ryan get in another fight. Who's the biggest girl?
Who's the biggest girl? Well, we know who would win in the hair department.
Yeah.
Okay, since nobody's giving, like, realistic answers, thank you for joining us here on Showtime Synergy. There are several ways to get... Shut up. Several ways to get in contact with us to leave feedback for the show. Shut up. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Follow us on... Shut up. I can hear you breathing. Stop.
I can't help it. Telegram. Shut up. Stop. No. Stop. Do not pass. Follow us. Stop.
Follow us on Twitter at Geekcast Radio is the network Twitter minus TFG.
I'm trying to contain myself. I'm sorry.
I'm going up.
Follow us on Twitter at Geekcast Radio is the network Twitter. Mine is TFJ and Mike. Nicole, what is your Twitter?
I'm back! Twitter is at Beatles Diva, Beatles like the band, not the bug.
And Amy, what is yours?
Lady of Wreck. Kind of fitting, isn't it?
You think? Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekcastRadioNetwork. Call the voicemail line. Tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name. 502-526-5821. There's a 5-minute time limit. We hope you, quote-unquote, enjoyed the latest episode of Showtime Synergy. You'll join us next time. We'll be reviewing the next 3 episodes from Gem of the Holograms, Season 3, those being Midsummer Night's Madness. Oh, Lord, I can tell that's going to be a Misfit episode. The Day the Music Died. We really need that behind the music guy narrating that one. And The Old Houdini Magic. For now, I am M with... I don't even know anymore.
I was gonna... More Yetis. There you go.
And the extra blade in your rotor. What?
Nicole.
Tune in next time and help us get truly outrageous with Showtime Synergy. I hate you.
You love it.
Show's over, Synergy. Me and